anointed and prayed for it last night, and the Lord has healed me. I don't think I could have stood before you without it. The Lord has been very, very gracious. And I want to encourage us all that prayer does change things. I wish that I could testify and tell you of every time that the Lord did that for Barry, what we witnessed. It was a miracle. Many miracles were performed during the last 2 weeks of his life. Barry saw it. He witnessed it himself. He would be in great need, either difficult breathing or pain in his abdomen and various other things. Yes, he had horrible hiccups there at the close to the end. And we sent out another request for the saints to pray. And the Lord, while he did not completely stop it, they stopped. And they would come back, but nothing like that racking of his body. It was just like a normal hiccup after that, if he had them at all. So the Lord, we witnessed the Lord doing marvelous things for Barry. I have testified here, want to testify again, and I will testify as long as I live, that we witnessed him, the Lord healing pneumonia in a day, in a moment. It was the most marvelous healing that I have ever seen. From one night to the next, to be totally clear is not normal. To never cough again, and certainly not coughing up blood, not that at all. So we have much to praise the Lord for. And what I want to say too, I want to thank everyone for your prayers, for helping bear this burden. We felt the prayers of the saints. I appreciate all of the saints more than I have ever appreciated them, and I will never take for granted the prayers of the saints, because I've witnessed something that, while I'm sure I've seen it in others, and I've been a part of bearing burdens for others, we were the recipient of it this time, and it just changes all things. So I thank the Lord for the saints of God. I thank the Lord for the prayers of the saints. And I thank the Lord for faith. This was not without a fight of faith. I will say that it was a very intense spiritual battle as well as physical. And I believe it took those kind of prayers to help Barry make it in. As most events are in maybe a minister's life, the Lord uses it, and he gives thoughts and messages and instructions that probably wouldn't have it if you didn't pass through that event. And as a result of these things, the Lord has given me the thought this morning, and the song that was sung as a special this morning. I had to just chuckle just a little bit. How does the Lord know to do that with somebody else, to give a song that goes along with the message? But that's what the Lord has done this morning, and it was a witness to me that the Lord wanted me to minister this morning. And I would like to say also that I stand on the Word of God, and when it says My strength is made perfect in your weakness. I've had the Lord prove that over and over down through my life. And this morning, I admit I am weak. But I am leaning on the strength of the Lord, because he has strengthened us when we thought we did not have strength. So this morning, I would like to speak to you just a little bit about the way. Normally, when we say anything about the way, we're thinking of the gospel way, the way to be saved, the way that the Bible teaches. We think of those things, but the Lord opened up to my mind that this is the way, walk ye in it. And he brought to my mind the first voyage of Columbus to America. I cannot imagine being Columbus and taking three ships with an X number of men on each one and headed out on uncharted water. And today that is nothing. We have such high-tech inventions that even for an airplane to leave Oklahoma City and fly across the water, they know exactly where to go. It's nothing. But in this time, Columbus did not have anything but a compass. And he had a very inadequate instrument that was not even accurate. And I believe it was called a quadrant, which I don't even know what that is. But it said that a quadrant was used to navigate by measurement, but he didn't even have any way of measuring distance. So he's literally jumping out there in the unknown, uncharted waters. He didn't even know what was at the end of it. He thought he was going for a certain purpose. There were many people alive at that time that felt like the earth was flat and you would go out there and fall off. He, for one, did not believe that. But yet he really didn't know how to get where he was going except to start out. And I thought of those things as I sort of looked at history. That's all history, see. We can look back and read about that and know what happened. We have seen the end of it. But you know what? The way is just like that. Your life. We could call this thought this morning the path of life. It is a way that you and I do not know what's going to happen in the next minute. Much less tomorrow or next year, or it's all hidden from you and me. God does not open it up and make it real easy and map it out and say, you know what? We have so much, like I said, development. Even on our phones, we have a GPS. And you can just type in there the address where you're going to want to end up, and it will just take you one step at a time. God's GPS, he alone knows. He does not put it in a picture in front of us that if I live this year on X number of days, I am going to meet this kind of a problem. It's all hid. It's uncharted waters. If you and I are going to make heaven, We have to have faith to take this kind of a route. And whatever comes in our life, do you have to go through it? Did you know you have a choice whether you want to go through it or not? As we bring out the word this morning, I think we'll all see that we have a choice in these things. So I would like to give you a scripture in Jeremiah 10 and 23. And it says this, Lord, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Yes. We have a lot of songwriters that have written things about life, the way of life. Probably one of the most familiar will be the song of God's Way is Best. And it says, had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I would go astray. I would wander far away in darkness, and I wouldn't reach the land of endless day. The writer had those kind of thoughts. Did you know you and I have to have that kind of a thought? We've got to be convinced that we don't know the way. We can't find it alone. We might think we know the way. We might think what is best for my life and it not be best at all. I would not end up where God wants me to end up if I choose my way. There is a scripture in Psalm 77 and 19. And this is what it says. It says, the way is in the sea. And it says, and thy path is in great waters. Now, I am not one that wants to be on a ship at all. I want solid ground under my feet. I cannot bear, I can fly easier than I can go on a ship or in water. I can't relax, but I'm thinking about ships that go across the sea and there's no stop signs, there's no road signs to give directions at all. And as they pass it, there is nothing left behind them after a while. Their path is just covered up. Nobody else can follow it and even know the way. But that scripture also says, thy footsteps are not known. So from past experiences, probably each one of you have experienced things in your life and you've said, had I known that was going to happen, I would have taken a different road. But what would have happened? We discussed in the Sunday school this morning, what would have happened if Noah hadn't drank? And then somebody says, well, what would have happened if Eve hadn't taken the first bite? We don't know what would happen. But we do know. And we have writers that also say, I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand. And it is those kind of understandings of people that have maybe experienced something in their life that caused them to write these songs, and they're passed down to our generation, and we sing them and we enjoy singing them because we're saying in our heart, I know that's true. It gives me hope that whatever I have to go through, He knows it. Thank the Lord. So I'm thinking also about a song. It's in our blue book. It's "Take Up Thy Cross and Follow Me." Familiar song. And it starts out and it says, speaks about the writer is saying, "One day I walked along a country road, and there was a stranger on that road. And I looked up at that stranger, and he was bearing a cross. And the writer here says, I saw his hands were bruised and torn." And then the writer said, "I cried, Lord Jesus, and he spoke my name." Did you know your name is being spoken? And he's calling for all of us to say, "Yes, Lord. I will allow you to do with me as you wish. I will allow whatever you want to bring into my life. I'll allow it." And I say amen. That's not easy. I want to say that many years ago when I was praying for my husband to be saved, I was afraid to say, "Lord, save him at any cost." Why? Because, you know, we're all human and we have imaginations. And all of those imaginations hindered me from saying it like that. And Brother Souter would say to us, "Be careful how you pray, because God is going to answer prayer." And so I considered it and I said, I changed it, and in reality, it was worse than saying "at any cost." But I said, "Lord, go the limit with him." Little did I know what the limit would be. But it was right. It was not an easy path. But it worked. I know that Sarah has testified to us that as soon as Barry had passed, she felt that her life's purpose was over, because she had prayed for 24 years for him to be saved and to make it. And the first thing she said as he passed was, "He made it. He made it. He made it." And she said it over and over. It was worth it. All of it was worth it, because that's what God put in their path, to bring him to a place that he could make it. So in this song, when his name was called, you know what the response was? His response was, "Let me bear thy cross." That was the desire. And what happened then? "Lo, a cross for me appeared." And the cross that he wrote about in this song, he said it was a cross that he had forgotten. It was a cross that he had laid aside. Did you know that you and I along the way can detour around our crosses? He also said it was a cross that he had long feared. And then, of course, we all know the chorus, and it says, "Take up thy cross and follow me." I would like to say to each of us today, let us not fear our crosses, and let us not turn them aside, and let us follow him. Let us take up our cross. That's embracing the way. You can't find the way all by yourself, because you will turn away from it. If you and I knew what was going to happen tomorrow, we would say, I'm not going there. I looked back at the day we had our wreck. I turned one corner, he went straight. I said, we'll see which one gets home first. And I've looked back at that decision of turning there, and I said, if only I had known, I would have went straight. I would have escaped that. God has a way of putting right in our path His plan. He's promised. He said, everything, doesn't matter what, it's going to work for your good. But I'm going to add something to it. And I don't think it takes away at all. We have to land it work for good. Just because the scripture says it, doesn't mean it's going to work for our good unless we let the Lord work it for our good. You have to be subject to what His will is and how He wants to work that in your life and what He's doing in your life. Don't you know that everything that comes to your life and mine, He's doing something to prepare us? He's doing something to open your eyes to yourself? Or He's opening your eyes to a better plan, a better way. So, you see why the song this morning was so right? We can't find the way by ourselves. We have to have that guiding spirit, but we also have to have a submissive heart. I'd like to turn to the 30th chapter of Isaiah. I want to look at verses 20 and 21. And it says, though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Anybody standing in line for that? Anybody standing in line? Well, I'm going to get in this line right here because it's bread of adversity and water of affliction. No, we're probably over here wanting to have dessert. We're wanting to have everything that is sweet, perfect, and doesn't hurt. That's what our humanity desires. But He says, though I give the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, something is good going to come out of it. He says, I'm not going to put those teachers over in a corner. You're going to see your teachers. You're going to see what I'm trying to do in your life. You may not see it the first day or the second day or the third week or ever how long it takes, but in time, you'll look back and what was intended to be instruction in your life, it will be as plain as day. That's what He wants. He wants to take those things He puts in our life and teach us something. And I want to testify that everything that the Lord has put in my life from the time I got saved, never to give up again. I like to say it that way because I've never given up again. Everything has taught me something I could not have learned any other way. All of the hurts, all of the disappointments, all of the wounds, all of the tears, everything has taught me something. My teacher has been right there. Verse 21. It says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee. And it's saying, this is the way. I don't know how to find the way. But there's going to be a voice. You're going to feel the assurance. This thing that is in my path, that I would like to turn away from, that I would like to say, no, I'm going to turn it another corner. But when the Lord calls for us to go through it, He's going to say, this is the right way. Don't turn to the left and don't turn to the right. Stay right here. Thank the Lord. Did you know that there are many bypaths? There's many other ways that you can take, even when you see what's in your way and you would like to take a bypath. Do you remember Pilgrim's Progress? How was the way when they chose to take another way? It said it was rough. And they looked over and they saw that the way going right alongside the king's highway was easy. And so they said, let's just go out of the way for a little while and then we'll get back in the way when we've passed up this rough place. But what happened to them? They didn't get back in the way until they had passed through some very serious places and almost lost their life. Giant despair captured them and put them in his dungeon, and they suffered greatly. I want to tell you, God's way is best. In that song, it also says, he leadeth true. I will not question, though what? Though through the valley I shall go. Though I should pass through what? Clouds of trial. Is it worth it? Anybody here? I'd like to hear a testimony today that it wasn't worth it. Somebody here feel like it wasn't worth it? An honest testimony will say it was worth it, because you will get good out of what God's intending for your life, for your soul, for your eternal life. And it says, though I should pass through clouds of trial and drink the cup of human woe. You know, there's many different kinds of human woe, cups of human woe. What does the scripture say? Doesn't the word say, in the hand of the Lord is what? A cup. What is in that cup? It says it's full of mixture. It's full of many different things that are common in life, on the path of life. It can be all of those things that I want to cast aside. I want to forget. I don't want to drink the dregs of the cup. You know, in the bottom of the cup is sometimes called dregs. Residue, if you will, of the drink. Didn't Jesus have a cup? Wasn't it difficult for him to drink his cup? Are we going to be any less? Are we going to draw back and say, well, I don't think I'll drink all of this? When we pass around the cup in our ordinance services and we present the bread, and what we always say this represents, it represents suffering. It represents Christ's body that was broken for you. The cup represents the suffering, the death. It represents the blood that was shed for you and me. And yet, can we do less than he? If he did that for me, can we say, yes, Lord? Sister Catherine, she had an impact on my life. And she always told me, she said, Maxine, don't take just a pinch. Take a bite that you have to chew. Think about it. That you're really partaking of his sufferings. You're willing to. When you take a drink, don't take a sip. Take a swallow. Something that you can swallow. I'm going to say it to us this morning. Embrace the sufferings of Christ and say, I'll take it. If you so choose, I'll take it. I'll go through it if that's what you choose. Let me tell you, His grace is sufficient. His grace will not fail you. It will not fail. Isaiah 43 is another scripture I want to give. Verse 2. It says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I meant to bring a book up here, but I'm going to see how much I can remember. Psalm 37, you can turn there. Verses 3 and 4. You know, I knew that those verses, the writer of that song, no doubt got it from this verse right here, but he added some words to it that should appeal to us as humans. Someone read verse 3.
Psalms 37?
No, Song 37. Verse 3.
When through the deep waters, I call thee to go. The rivers of sorrow,
shall not overflow, for I will be with thee.
Thy trouble to bless. And sanctify to thee thy deepest distress.
What does that mean to you? Can the Lord sanctify the deepest distress that you have? He can. He makes it possible for you and me to go through it and to come out on the other side without the smell of smoke. Read verse 4.
When through fiery trials,
thy pathway. See, we don't have to find the way. We wouldn't choose this. So I can't find the way alone. So fiery trials, thy pathway shall lie.
My grace all sufficient. Shall be thy supply. The flame shall not harm thee. I only desire.
What do you think about the Lord's design? Does He have a design for you in your life? He does. He has a purpose. He knows exactly what He wants to do and how He wants to do it and with what tools He wants to shape you and me. It's His design. What's the rest?
Thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine.
You think you're perfect? Do you feel perfect? Do you feel like you've been perfected? I have found the Lord still has to perfect me. And He has to use some measures that are not pleasant.
Can we get that last verse?
Take it.
The soul that on Jesus doth lean
for repose,
I will not
desert to his foes.
That soul, though all hell
should endeavor to shake,
I'll never
forsake. Isn't that quite a song? It was inspired by this scripture right here. That song has a message in it for us. The Lord gave me a little portion of a song this morning, and I could not think where it was. The texted somebody. I said, do you know where this song is or what's this phrase? And then I said it to Lauren, and he said, it's in the song, He Will Not Fail Me Now. It's verse 3. And I want to read it all to you because I believe the Lord was speaking to us and saying, you know, this was in your path. This was in your way. When in affliction, grief, and pain, He did not fail me then. When no one cared, He did not fail me then. I trusted Him for keeping grace to do what? To walk the path His hand did trace. Are you willing to let the Lord lead you? Are you willing to take the path His hand doth trace? Of course, the bottom line is He will not fail me now. And of course, we cannot help but give the part of the 23rd Psalms, though I walk through the valley. I don't even want to put the rest of that in there because it may not be that kind of valley for you. Whatever kind of valley it is, though I walk through the valley of anything, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. And then, of course, God's way is best. It says, heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Forsake thy fears and doubts, but trusting. Submit thy way into His hands. I never told Barry this. But I told the Lord. I thanked the Lord for having the privilege to be a part of that battle. He thought he was the one suffering. We were all just looking on, but we were suffering too. But at the same time, we tasted of the goodness of the Lord. And His word says, I invite you to come and taste of me. Let's not draw back from suffering. Let's not draw back from the disasters of life, what seems to be disasters. Let's look for the sun shining behind the cloud. Those of you that were at the funeral, you know that Barry looked for the sun every morning. The nights were hard, and as soon as there was any kind of daylight at all, he looked for that. The sun does come up in the morning. The night does go away. But I want to tell you, to experience the blessing of the Lord in those places has no, what shall I say, there's no price. Too big? Is that too much? To taste of the Lord, to know that He's there, to feel His presence, to witness His divine touch over and over, I wouldn't exchange it for the easy path. Let's all be encouraged today. You can't find the way alone. But the Spirit of the Lord can lead you down a right path. And you will be saying, right was the pathway leading to this. Pray for me.